Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. This morning's text is found in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning with verse 1 as follows. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. So far, the Holy Word. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is our champion and our defender, dear fellow redeemed. Recently, I reread a favorite old book of mine called The Jim Corbett Omnibus. It's a collection of stories by a forest ranger who hunted and killed a series of man-eating leopards and tigers in the northern provinces of India back in the early 1900s. History corroborates the stories that he tells, otherwise they would be completely unbelievable. For instance, Corbett tells of stalking the Rudaprayag leopard, which terrorized an entire northern region for 8 years and killed an astonishing 400 people. Its modus operandi was always the same. The leopard would circle the villagers' houses after dark, clawing at doors and shuttered windows, trying to find a weak spot where he could gain entrance. Can you imagine if you were in one of those houses? Imagine if there was a dangerous animal just feet away from you, clawing and trying to get in so it can kill you and eat you. I'll tell you what's really terrifying. There is. You heard about it in our epistle lesson for this morning, where the Apostle Peter warned us, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." With his temptations, the devil is constantly circling you, seeking a way in, probing for a weakness. He wants to maul you with sin. Ideally, he'd like to devour your faith altogether and drag you back with him to hell. If you're like me, you probably realize that the devil has already broken through your defenses many times. You've given in to his temptation so often that you may at times find yourself feeling lost and helpless and defeated. Well, today I have good news for you. Victory over the devil can still be yours. Jesus came to take on the devil for you and in your place won a great victory over him. That's why our theme on this first Sunday in Lent is "The Roaring Lion Meets His Match." As your champion, Jesus overcame the temptations of the devil to distrust the Father's will, to take an easy way out, and finally, to put his Father to the test. Today is the first Sunday in Lent, as I said, and the account of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness is the classic gospel text for this Sunday. I wonder if you can guess why. During the Lenten season, we focus on our Savior's passion. the titanic struggle between good and evil, the conflict between light and darkness, the war between Jesus and Satan for the souls of men. And now it begins. On this first Sunday in Lent, we're privileged to observe the opening battle of that war. The roaring lion has arrived at Jesus' doorstep and he's looking for a way in. The devil knows that if he can penetrate the defenses of the champion of mankind, then the souls of every sinner will belong to him. However, Satan also knows that it won't be easy. Our text takes place shortly after Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan River, at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. And at this time, our Lord is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. He won't be taken by surprise. In fact, the text reveals to us that Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness specifically to be tempted by the devil. So Satan must use all his cunning. And the first temptation is cunningly simple. If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. As he always does, Satan begins by raising a cloud of doubt about God's word. Are you really the Son of God? If so, then why not prove it? And it really would have been so easy, wouldn't it, for Jesus? He had the power, certainly, to turn stones to bread. Not long after this episode, he would miraculously make food enough for 5,000 people appear out of thin air. So he had the power, but producing food now wouldn't have anything to do with his mission to redeem mankind. It would simply be to serve himself. It would mean obeying Satan rather than his heavenly Father. Worse, it would show a mistrust of his heavenly Father, who had given him his mission and promised to sustain him in it. Satan hopes that this temptation will work on Jesus. He knows that it works on us. Yes, he does. How easily the devil can get us to concentrate on that monthly paycheck and forget about the providence of God. Every good gift, the Bible says, and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. He opens his hand and satisfies all our needs and wants. We should be trusting him to provide, but we'd much rather trust in things we can see and touch, like that monthly paycheck, that retirement fund, that insurance policy. We'd much rather trust in our own abilities to provide for ourselves. Yes, the devil is very good at this particular temptation. When we ought to be seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the devil's very successful at getting us seeking other things, fretting and fussing, wringing our hands and saying, "What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed?" With this temptation, the devil has breached our defenses many times. But in Christ, the roaring lion met his match. Tempted to distrust his Father, Jesus instead shows supreme trust in his heavenly Father. He says, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." The Bible is the best weapon available to man to combat the temptations of the devil, and Jesus makes good use of it. "It has been written, and thus it stands. I will not trust in my own abilities. I will trust in the word of my heavenly Father." This is the answer you and I have so often failed to give. Jesus, our champion, gives it for us. And remember, my Christian friends, Jesus is our champion. Our faith connects us to him, so his good answer to the devil is your good answer. His victory over Satan becomes your victory. I'd like to pause here for a moment to talk about this subject of substitution, because it's so very important to our Christian faith. In fact, it's really the central truth of the Christian faith. You remember David and Goliath, certainly. Well, when David defeated the giant warrior Goliath there in the Battle of Elah that day so long ago, it was the entire Israelite army that won the victory. Why? Because David was fighting as their champion on their behalf. And the same thing's true about you. The good news of Lent is that Jesus is your champion. He battled the devil in your place on your behalf, and he won. That means that through Christ, you have won a great victory. If you claim Jesus as your Savior from sin, then as far as God's concerned, you have won the victory. You have resisted every temptation. You have successfully repulsed the devil at every turn. Because when Jesus did all these things, he was acting as your substitute, your champion. But back to the wilderness. The devil wasn't done with Jesus, not by a long chalk. He continues to prowl, probing for a weakness. And in some way or other, he transports Jesus to the top of a high mountain. And there he shows Jesus, in a moment of time, all the glory and the splendor and the riches of the world. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." The Bible tells us that the devil is a liar and the father of it. But one of the things that makes his temptation so effective so often is that he frequently mixes in just a little truth with the lie. Of course, he was lying when he told Jesus that he had the power to give him the world. The world doesn't belong to the devil. Scripture says the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. But the part about Jesus receiving power and dominion over the whole world, that part was true, wasn't it? You remember the famous passage in Psalm 2 where his heavenly father promises Jesus, "You are my son, today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession." And therein lay the temptation. Because you see, the devil was offering Jesus an easy way out. You're going to be Lord of heaven and earth one day anyway. Why go through all the pain to get there? Why endure the mocking and the shame? Why put up with the scourging and the crown of thorns? Why subject yourself to the cross and death? Just bow down to me. You can avoid all that and have your dominion too. Sadly, this is another one of the devil's temptations that works all too well on sinners like you and me. When the Lord lays trials and tribulations across our path, we're all too eager to listen when the devil offers us an easy way out. Maybe you find yourself a little strapped around April 15th, and along comes the devil with a surefire way to put a little more money in your pocket, as long as you're willing to bend the tax laws a bit. Or perhaps you're a young person who's been chafing under God's requirement that sexual relations must wait until marriage. Devil's got a great little shortcut for you too, as long as you're willing to overlook the sixth commandment. Perhaps it's Sunday morning, an hour before church is supposed to start, and you just don't feel like it. You're comfortable in your bed, you would like to stay at home, avoid getting dressed up, avoid all the hassle. Well, it really comes down to obeying Satan instead of God. And the devil can make that easy way out seem so very, very tempting. But our Lord stood firm in the face of temptation. Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." How many times should you and I have told the devil, "Get behind me, Satan," and failed to do it? More than I can count, more than you can count either, I would guess. Well, for all those times we failed, Jesus succeeded. For our sakes, he refused to take the easy way out. He refused to take a shortcut to glory. His road would lead to glory, certainly, but it would lead to the cross first. He knew that by sacrificing his life on the cross, that would be the only way he could redeem us from our sins. In his love for us, Jesus was determined to drink the bitter cup of suffering right to the very last drop, so that not a drop remained for us to drink. Thank the Lord that Jesus fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Twice beaten back, the roaring lion circled and closed in for a third time. Then he brought Jesus to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, 'He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.'" This time, Satan was tempting Jesus to put his heavenly Father to the test. Well, if Satan fails with one temptation, you can be sure he's going to keep trying. He's going to keep searching to find out what your weakness is and how he can breach your defenses. He couldn't shake Jesus' trust in his Father, so he comes at it from a little different angle. If you have such great trust in your Heavenly Father, then why not prove it? Throw yourself down from the height of the pinnacle of the temple. The devil has the nerve to even quote a Bible verse. He says, of all things, "Doesn't the Bible say that God's angels will protect you?" And of course, the Bible does say that. It's a direct quote from the 91st Psalm. God has promised that his angels will protect us and guard us, and that nothing will happen to us in our lives apart from our Lord's good and gracious will for us. But there's a big difference between trusting God's protection and intentionally testing God's protection. I've quoted my elderly grandmother, who since passed away, used to tell us kids, when you drive your car over the speed limit, the angels aren't riding on your fenders anymore. In other words, don't tempt God. Don't put his protection to the test. Jesus quoted scripture right back at the devil, only he used it correctly. Jesus answered and said to him, "It has been said, 'You shall not tempt the Lord your God.'" Once again, Jesus resisted temptation. Once again, he gave the devil the good answer that you and I have often failed to give. The lion was repulsed. There in the wilderness, our champion stood up to Satan and overcame him and won a great victory. And he did it for us so that we now own that victory. We who have so often given in to temptation and hung our heads in defeat can today claim a great victory over our enemy. It was not the final victory, only a foreshadowing of it. But on Calvary's cross, Jesus' work as our substitute would finally be completed, and with it, our record of failure and sin be completely blotted out. Well, the lion is still hungry, and he is still prowling. With his temptations, the devil has defeated us many times. But please, please bear in mind this important fact. He has not defeated our champion. We may look to Jesus for righteousness, for forgiveness, and for help in times of temptation. The book of Hebrews says, "Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted." One Christian writer put it this way. He said, "When we're tempted, we must learn the lesson of the dog." Anyone who's ever tried to train a dog to obey knows this scene. A bit of meat is placed on the floor near the dog, and the master says no, which the animal knows means that he must not eat it. The dog will usually take his eyes off the food because the temptation would be just too great, and will fix his eyes on the face of his master. My prayer is that all of us will learn the lesson of the dog and resist the temptation that Satan lays before us, and instead fix our eyes on the face of our master Jesus. There, in that gracious and loving face, we will find what we seek: forgiveness, peace, and everlasting life. Amen.